Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All right. Andrew Golden covers the Nats for the Washington Post. The Nats beat the Pirates last night 3-0. James Wood with a leadoff home run to open up the game last night. Jake Irvin outstanding last night. 7 innings complete, 3 hits, no earned runs, no runs period, 6 strikeouts and just 1 walk. The Nats are 7-10, a competitive start to their season. Andrew Golden joins us right now, at Andrew C. Golden on X on Twitter. So 17 games into it, and it does start to fly by. It's amazing because it seems like it was opening day just yesterday. But I would say, and I'm curious as to whether or not you would agree with me, but this has been a much more competitive team to start the season than maybe some of the experts thought it would be. You say what?
Yeah, I think I expect the Nationals to be a little bit more competitive this year. I think that they have the talent, too. It's just a matter of can they string it together. And I think what you saw in the Diamondback series, the Dodgers series, is that they can't compete, and they do have the talent to keep themselves in the mix, but they do have to do that consistently. As you can see, you know, this weekend in Miami, they lost 2 out of 3 to a team that they beat 11 times out of 13 last year. And so I think it's a matter of just getting that consistency going. But I think they have the talent to compete. It's just a question of how do they stack up in a division that is, you know, pretty stacked with the Phillies, the Mets, and the Braves, who I know have gotten off to a hot start, but, you know, the Braves have a lot of talent as well. So it's interesting. I'm interested to see how it all shakes out.
Yeah, I mean, so far, part of the story, right, Andrew, is that what we lacked last year, what the Nats lacked last year in offensive power, it's a much better situation so far this year.
Yeah, with James Wood, as you mentioned, is kind of spearheading it with his 6 home runs. But you have Nathaniel Lowe in the order, who was a, you know, World Series champion 2 years ago. They added Josh Bell to hit a little bit more power, and then C.J. Abrams. Obviously, C.J. Abrams is a talented guy at the top of the order who has shown, you know, he can hit for some power in the past too. And so I think that has been a positive, is that they did say this offseason that they wanted to hit more power, and I think that they're seeing that right now. And I think that's obviously, you know, what they were hoping for.
6 home runs in 17 games is a pretty good pace for James Wood. What's been the difference for him so far? Because I think his over-under was like 25.5, something like that for the season. He's ahead of that pace. What do you attribute that to?
I think it's just experience in the off-season of preparation. I think obviously he debuted, you know, last year right in, you know, late June, early July, and I think he had 4 months to kind of get a sense of how big the pitchers are going to pitch him, and I think that obviously was a big adjustment. I mean, last year, at the All-Star break, he led the team in homers and RBIs and walks, and so I think you already saw flashes of what he could be last year. I just think he's more comfortable and knows exactly how teams are going to attack him. I think he just has a better sense of it from being up there for 4 months, so I don't necessarily look at him and see that anything has changed or anything is different. I think it's just more experience and, just growing his baseball IQ and understanding of how teams are going to approach him.
So how many home runs do you think he hits after this start?
Well, that's the thing. Like, when the season began, I had him at 27, but I mean, he's already at 6. So I'm like, I don't know. Maybe I need to like up my prediction. You know, maybe he will get to 30. But you know, one of the things that James always said is that for him, like, home was coming bunches. And so, you know, I'm gonna stick with my 27. But you know, like everybody always gets off the hot starts, but can they sustain it? I'm gonna stick with my 27. But I can easily see him hitting, you know, 30. And he's as you said, he's on pace to do way more than 30. So we'll see how it all shakes out.
Yeah, he's got 6 so far for those not paying attention, tied with a bunch of players for second in the league so far in home runs. Who else offensively has kind of carried them and been, you know, either as expected or a surprise so far?
I think, you know, like I mentioned earlier, CJ Abrams, I know he's on the injured list with a flexor strain. But CJ has played as advertised so far this year, and I think that he's been pretty impressive. And then a guy who I think has kind of turned some heads is Alex Call. You know, the Nationals ended the year with, you know, James Wood in left field, Jacob Young in center, and Dylan Cruz in right. And that was going to be the game plan, and Alex Call is going to be the backup fourth outfielder. But Jacob Young and Dylan Cruz have both kind of struggled early on, and Alex Call has come out and hit the ball really well. He's been hitting the leadoff spot in games where he's played for the most part this year, especially with C.J. Abrams out. And so I've been really impressed with what Alex has done. He showed some of these flashes last year, but then he got hurt and then, you know, didn't come back the rest of the year. But he's shown that he can be a good fourth outfielder and also be a valuable starter when he needs to be. So I've been impressed with what I've seen from Alex.
Dylan Cruz, horrendous start, had a rough, you know, couple of games too here recently. But overall, what are they saying about his slow start to a much-anticipated season?
Yeah, my sense is that, you know, they're not panicked, but, you know, and they like what he's been doing recently. I think the problem, at least, you know, in the first couple series, that Dylan wasn't making a lot of contact, and that was obviously alarming. He was striking out a lot. It was definitely concerning. I think now he's making better contact. He's just hitting balls right to people, and I think, you know, last night was probably one of his better games. He's hitting a lot of line drives and center right field gap, and that's what the Nationals wanted to see out of him. And so I don't think that they're overly concerned. But I mean, he's definitely off to a slow start, and definitely is not what the Nationals envisioned. And, you know, Dave Martinez keeps saying, like, over the 162-game season, you're going to go through slumps, and so, you know, he could get hot next month, and everything will be fine. But I think we still need to see that. And so, you know, I think pitchers are pitching him, you know, fastballs in, breaking balls away, trying to get him to chase, and it's worked at times. And I think he's just trying to figure out how to make those adjustments. So he's hitting the ball well. The other thing too that I've heard is that, you know, is that they want him to maybe move a little bit less. Like, his swing has a lot of moving parts, and, you know, that can make it hard to adjust to big league pitching. And so, you know, I think they're trying to get him to you know, simplify his swing a bit more so that way he can have more success.
Seems like Davey's, you know, fooling around a little bit with the batting order. What do you make of that? James Wood in the leadoff spot last night. Cruz, you know, towards the bottom of the order, and I think during much of the spring, maybe he hit in spots higher up in the order. Just give me a minute on, you know, what you think Davey's fooling around here with the order.
Yeah, I think he's fooling around with it right now because C.J. Abrams is out, right? And I think that, you know, I think C.J., you know, he's always the leadoff hitter, right? And James will be right after him. But I think, you know, you want somebody at the top of the lineup who is patient, works counts, and takes pitches. And I think that's what, you know, that's the reason for having James Wood at the top of the lineup. And Alex Call has been there because he's done the same thing. I think Dylan Cruz being at the bottom of the lineup is just a reflection of the fact that, like, if you want to win, you want your best guys up top. And, you know, Dylan has not, you know, hit as well to begin the year. It's possible that could change as the season progresses. And I know in the spring he batted towards the top of the lineup, but I think it's one of those things where you have to earn it. And, you know, like, he hasn't hit that well to start the year. And I think it's an opportunity to take some pressure off of him. And hopefully if things get going, maybe he'll move back to the top of the order. But I think it's just a reflection of how he's hitting right now.
Talking to Andrew Golden from the Washington Post, the Nats last night shut out the Pirates on the road 3-0. Jake Irvin was outstanding. 17 games in, Mackenzie Gore's had a couple of outstanding starts. Give me a minute on the starting rotation before we delve into the bullpen issues.
Yeah, I think the starting rotation has been good. I think Mackenzie on that opening day struck out 13, and, you know,
yeah.
I want to say just his stats matched up to, I think it was Bob Gibson. Like, he and Bob Gibson, you know,
pretty good company.
But when you're in the same mix as Bob Gibson, like, you'll take that any day. And so I think Mackenzie's been good. I think for him early on, I think the key has been that he's gotten to a lot of two-strike counts that hasn't been able to put hitters away. When he does, you see what he did against the Phillies, and when he doesn't, you kind of see some of the more recent outings that he's had. But McKenzie's been fine at the top of the rotation, and I think that they've gotten some good starts from Mitchell Parker. Jake Irvin had a really good outing last night. I think the other thing, too, is Michael Soroka is the guy they signed to a contract this offseason. It was 1 year, $9 million. That was the most they still in the free agent. And his first start, he went out with a bicep strain, and he's working his way back. So they've had Brad Lord try to fill in his spot. I think this rotation maybe hasn't reached the full potential of what it can be, but I think they've shown some success so far. Obviously angered by Mackenzie Gore. And I think they just have to keep performing well. And, you know, I think part of the thing, too, is the starting rotation has kept them in games, but as you mentioned, it's the bullpen that's kind of put them in trouble. Like, I think the starting rotation has given the Nationals everything you can ask for, but it really is hard when your bullpen is, you know, giving up runs in the late innings, and it makes it difficult for your team to come back.
All right. I think everybody expected this to be an issue, given that they didn't spend a ton of money on their bullpen.
Right.
So what are the prospects of this thing moving forward? Is this going to be the Achilles heel all year long if they get decent starting pitching, if they get more offense and more power than they got last year? Is this going to be the thing we look back on and say they didn't do enough to bolster that bullpen?
Yeah, I think it could be. I think there's a couple things. The first thing is that, you know, last year Dave Martinez, you know, really relied on Derek Law. And I want to say he made a handful of appearances last year. I can't remember the exact number, but this year he entered camp and was a little bit slow, and they were like, he's not going to pitch that much, and just so he's ready to pitch during the season. And now he's on the injured list and things are going slower than expected. So that was a guy that David Martinez could rely on in the middle innings to bridge the gap to the back end of the bullpen. And now he's not here. And so David's trying to figure out on the fly who can he trust in those situations. And just the guys that they put in just have not, you know, lived up to that hype. I mean, they signed Lucas Sims to a deal this offseason. He hasn't pitched that well, and he's walking a lot of guys, which is a big problem to begin with. And it always has been for his whole career. Jorge Lopez has been kind of inconsistent. Even Jose Ferrer, who's supposed to kind of be their setup man for Kyle Finnegan and also close some games, has even struggled himself. And so, it's a mixture of, you know, guys on one-year deals who have had some struggles in the past couple seasons and that they signed and you hope for bounce backs, but also like when guys struggle, like there's a reason they struggle. Right. And so you can't always guarantee that they'll bounce back. And so I think that's kind of what you're seeing right now. They also have also the handful of young guys who are also trying to figure it out. So it's just been a bad combination so far, but they pitched well last night, but those are their best two relievers. So that's what you expect, but we'll see if that continues once they have to trust some of the other guys later in games.
You tweeted out that Davey Martinez had a meeting with his relievers yesterday before the game. What was that about?
I think it was just to sit them down, and Davey said he wanted the message to be positive and just reinforce that, you know, they have a lot of games left and not to panic over 16 games, and that was the message. And so he didn't go into the specifics of everything that was said, but he said that every reliever spoke, and the goal is to get them to all relax and calm down and not stress out about the start. Because obviously they had the worst ERA in baseball heading into yesterday's game. And so that's the last thing you want to see. I'm sure it took a toll on the whole bullpen.
Andrew, is there a bigger surprise in the National League right now than the bad start by the Braves?
That's up there. Yeah, I mean, that's up there. I mean, they had a pretty tough schedule to begin the year, but definitely
yeah,
that he couldn't
right.
even shake out a win or two against the Dodgers or the – I think they started the season with the Padres. And so – I definitely think that's a shock, and they have an uphill climb being in that division. Like it is difficult to win that division, so that's definitely been the biggest shock for me. Obviously, they get Spencer Strider back tonight, but they have an uphill battle for sure, especially in the NL East. So that definitely has been the biggest surprise for me.
Maybe update if you have it handy, everybody, on Juan Soto's start in New York.
Repeat that again.
Juan Soto, what's his start been like in New York?
I think he's taking like 250 to start the year. He's been okay. I think there's some controversy, I want to say a couple of days ago, because he kind of was mentioning that pitchers have been pitching him differently with the Mets than they have with the Yankees, and that's obviously because Aaron Judge was hitting behind him, and yeah, everybody gets pitched better when Aaron Judge is behind them. And so I think it's been a little bit of a tough start for him, but I think he's been fine because he hasn't been like the Juan Soto that you pay $765 million for. But I guess it's kind of hard to live with those expectations. I mean, you got to be an all-world player every year. So he's definitely gotten off to a cold start. I know that that drew some controversy, but I'm sure he'll be okay.
Two more in Pittsburgh for the Nats, including tonight with Mitchell Parker, who's actually pitched very well so far. Thanks, Andrew, for doing this. Always appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Andrew Golden, everybody, from the Washington Post. Nats are 7-10 overall through this, you know, early portion of the schedule of the schedule in the season. The National League East is kind of bunched up with the Mets a game ahead of the Phillies and 2.5 ahead of the Marlins, and Nats are 4 back, and it's the Braves who have started so poorly. Now they've they lost their first 7 games of the year. They were 0-7 when they started against San Diego and the Dodgers. But really, the most impressive baseball so far for Washington was that series at home against the Dodgers, where they won 2 games, generated a ton of offense, and actually had a chance for the sweep when James Wood came up with 2 on in the bottom of the 9th in a game that they lost 6-5. But Wood right now is basically on pace for like 60-plus home runs. He is bashing it, and the opposite field home run last night to lead off the game was sensational. 6 homers in 17 games for James Wood. All right, we'll get back to some football next. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
So this is a swing for the stars, or swing for the moon season. And even if you fall short, you're amongst the stars, as the great Donnie Simpson used to say when he played Lionel Richie in the Commodores at the end of every show, Jesus is Love. But I digress. This is a swing big offseason. I think they have to think that way with the draft, too. A week from tomorrow night, if they're on the clock at 29, I want them thinking about a player that can make an impact this year, in January of 2026. You know, at it would be nice if it were at a position of need. I view the draft for Washington that almost every position is a position of need, with the exception of quarterback, and I think a pure left tackle. It's really hard to find guys that can only play left tackle. If you draft a great tackle and all he played was left tackle in college, he's still a potential very good right tackle. But for me, I would look at it as you're not going to draft a quarterback. You're probably not going to take a left tackle. Everything else is in play. Everything else is in play. Obviously, the depth of defensive linemen, edge rushers in particular, and that being a big need for this team, means that that has to be, you know, the favorite for the position selected. And by the way, it is. I pulled up about three different betting sites with draft odds, and I basically averaged them out, and here is my work. Basically, the average odds of the position taken by Washington, which would be for the first player it selects, whether it's at 29, maybe a trade up, maybe a trade back, but the first player selected, the overwhelming favorite by position is defensive line. Now, that's a combination of D-line, D-tackle, and edge, D-end, but on average, it's like a plus 150 favorite that's the position group they're going to take, followed by corner and O-line, which are pretty much tied at like 4-1, and then comes wide receiver, safety, and running back. Wide receiver a little bit ahead of safety, safety a little bit ahead of running back, and then else is kind of a long shot. Tight ends, not as long a shot. Linebackers, a long shot. Quarterback's a very long shot. I think that makes sense to me, that D-line, you know, for our team's specific part of the D-line that we're talking about is an edge player. But if the best player on the board is a D-tackle, won't shock me if they take that player. You know, Daron Payne could be entering the final year of his career in Washington. So I want them to be thinking, yes, about the future, but also about a player that is ready, that can contribute in January of next year at a high level. That's what I'd like to see. I think Washington has an opportunity to find that. And, you know, I was reading Ben Solak from ESPN. He put out basically the optimum draft for each of the 32 teams. And he essentially writes, once you make the NFC Championship game in your rookie quarterback's first season as a pro, you commit. You get the chips to the middle of the table. You trade up if you have to. And he finishes off after talking about various positions and various players by writing what I just said. Draft players you can envision starting this year and playing at a high level in meaningful games. That's what they should be looking for in this draft. Now, if you get that, that also means you have that player for the future. But you're not drafting on potential in this draft, not when you're in the position that they are in. I think right now that I don't care about the position group that they draft, assuming it won't be quarterback. I would also assume it would not be a linebacker, and I would assume that it would not be a left tackle. But I want them to take the best player available on the board. If it is a pass rusher, if it is a DN like a Nick Scourton from Texas A&M or James Pierce from Tennessee, if it ends up being a Nick Amanawori, the safety from South Carolina, or Malachi Starks from Georgia, the safety, I'm going to be okay with that. If it ends up being a corner that they end up falling in love with, and they take, you know, at 29, like a Siobhan Revelle from East Carolina, or, you know, a guy like Will Johnson from Michigan. Not Will Johnson from Michigan. Max Harrison from Kentucky. I'm okay with that. You know, I don't think the tight ends will be available for them at the end of the first round, the top two anyway, and the tight ends in this class. You know, you got two really good ones that kind of look a little bit like Brock Bowers. I think Tyler Warren plays a lot like Brock Bowers. The guy from Michigan, also Colston Loveland, is a big-time prospect. You could have two tight ends go in the top 10, 12 picks of the draft. Mason Taylor, the son of, yes, Jason Taylor, who played here briefly, is a potential late first-rounder, early second-rounder. And we've talked about running back. Like, if a Hampton were to drop to 29, I'd have no issues with that. I'd have no issues with Luther Burden as a wide receiver at 29. You take players that are the best on your board, but you take players that you think can perform and perform earlier rather than later. You're not drafting on down-the-road potential. You need that player in the first round, if you end up selecting a player in the first round, to play right away. You know, and that means that, you know, if a Shamar Stewart or a Mike Green, if they liked Mike Green, there's some baggage there. If for whatever reason they started to drop a really good player that they really liked, that's why I've not discounted a possible trade up. Not with this team in the position they are in. You know, you wouldn't think that you'd want to do that because you'd have to give up more picks and now you're going to end up with less players in this draft, more likely than not. But if there's a player there that they have as the last player, let's say, as a first-round kind of a guy, and they don't think they can trade back, and trading up three spots is going to cost them a fifth-rounder or a fourth-rounder for a player that they feel really good about and is much higher rated on their board than anybody else, I don't think anything is out of the realm of possibility next week. I don't. Yeah, the position odds, you know, the kind of back of the envelope averages of three different shops that had sort of NFL draft odds on the exact playing position of the first drafted player. D-line is the favorite. It's the significant favorite. And then you get to kind of O-line, corner, and wide receiver in that order. O-line and corner were kind of mixed up. Corner was higher in one area. O-line was higher in the other, but they averaged out to be about the same. And then it was wide receiver, and then it was safety and running back. Tight end came in a little bit further back than running back, but we could see that. So, Max, right now, which position do you think is the most likely that they select with their first pick, whether that's in the first round, second round, at 29, higher or lower, and which position would you like them to pick?
So most likely, I think they're taking an edge, because it's such a deep class. There are so many guys that could be there. That's just where I think they're going to go. But I would love like people. I feel like people are forgetting about Emeka Ibuka. Just because he does everything on the field at a very high rate, but people are getting distracted by like Matthew Golden's speed. He keeps climbing the draft rankings.
Yeah, he does.
Most recently, I think he got mocked to the Cowboys, which I feel like is a very Jerry Jones pick. But Emeka Ibuka is just he's a guy I love in this draft, and he plays like a commander. I would love to see him on this team.
Yeah, my receivers after McMillan, and if you want to call Travis Hunter a receiver.
Sure.
The next in line for me has been and still is Luther Burden. Now, I don't know what the character is. I don't know what due diligence on the player may, you know, reveal. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be a big part of what they end up doing. We are going to see, I think, another attempt in year two, even though they are much closer to winning big than they ever thought they would be in this moment. I don't see them taking chances on guys with any kind of character issues. It doesn't mean that every pick is going to be, I think 7 of their 9 picks last year were team captains. Mm-hmm. You know, they had the highest, you know, aggregate RAS score in their draft, and they had two players that didn't even test, Jaden Daniels and Johnny Newton, because Newton was hurt for the combine last year. So those are things that are going to be things to look at going in. I'm not saying they got to be a team captain, but I do think they'll steer clear of anybody with any level of baggage.
For sure.
But for me, wide receiver-wise, I do like T-Mac. I like McMillan a lot. I think, you know, the size, there's a lot of Drake London in McMillan for me. That would be the comp for me. Luther Burden, I've just loved for the last 2 years. To me, he's like, I don't want to say he is Tariq Hill, but in the open field in space, he is a problem to deal with, and he creates a lot of space. So he would be the receiver that if he went at 29 to Washington, I'd be excited about. Golden, to your point, the time shot him up. I like Egbuka. I do. And then you get into kind of later on, like Jack Beck from TCU. You want to talk about hands. I love Ty Felton from Maryland. I think he's now a projected day three pick. But, man, with no quarterbacks this year, Ty Felton was a star in the Big Ten as a wide receiver. I had somebody tell me recently that Kyle Williams, the wide receiver from Washington State, is flying up some boards. You know, Tez Johnson to me is, you know, he's a slot. He is tiny, but he's dangerous and he's a weapon. Yeah. I would say for me, I predict D-end, edge. I don't care where they go. I just hope it is best player on their board and a player that can make an impact earlier than later. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Your prediction on the position that Washington selects with its first overall pick, and which position group would you like it to be? Two different things. Which do you predict they'll pick from position-wise, and which would you like to see? I think it'll be an edge. I think when we're sitting here a week from Friday morning, it's going to be Michael Williams. It's going to be a Nick Scowerton. It's going to be an Azeru Aku from BC. It's going to be a Pierce Jr. It's going to be somebody like that that we end up talking about. Somebody that ended up being a player they loved that was the best player available on their board, which there's a good chance a D-end will be, and that they really like from a character standpoint, etc. And they believe is an edge setter and a pass rusher. I think the guy that's probably most pro-ready is probably the BC kid. You know, he's a true senior this year, highly productive at Boston College, 16.5 sacks, was way up there in pressures. Donovan Azeru Aku from BC is a possibility. They brought him in, I believe, on one of these top 20s. Wasn't he here yesterday as well? I think he was. That would be my guess, is that that's the best odds. That's what we'll see is an edge a week from Thursday night. And I'm fine with, honestly, anything they do other than the obvious. They're not going to pick a quarterback. And they're probably not going to pick a left tackle. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Which position will Washington's first pick in the draft, which position will it be? And then which position would you like it to be? 301-230-0980. We have now a stream of this show. You can see Max and I at the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in Team 980, and please hit the subscribe button. I'm live 10 to 1 every day on the stream. Craig's live 4 to 7 every day. Don't forget to like the stream. That's very helpful for us. And turn on the notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, and the Team980.com.
All right. The Commanders hosted 20 or so prospects yesterday in Ashburn, including Quincy Riley and Maxwell Hairston. They ran back the famous Topgolf trip, and Dan Quinn and Adam Peters said that they found it beneficial because players were more relaxed and they could observe how players interacted with one another in a social setting. The Caps defeated the Islanders by a score of 3-1. Dylan Strome accounted for all three goals to honor his late dog, Wrigley. This is his first hat trick as a Washington Capital. The Nats got the win in Pittsburgh by a score of 3-0. Jake Irvin gets the shutout win with 7 innings pitched, 6 strikeouts, and only 3 hits. James Wood also hit this massive 445-foot bomb out to right center field.
3-2 pitch. Wood, a long drive, straightaway center and deep. Forget about it. This one heading out toward the river. It is long, long gone. It bounces out of PNC Park and down toward the Allegheny River. James Wood's first career leadoff home run. 6 pitches in. The Nationals lead 1-0.
They continue their series tonight at 6:40 on 106.7 The Fan. Netflix will be releasing a documentary on the infamous Wizards locker room dispute between Gilbert Arenas and Javaris Crittenden in 2009 when guns were drawn. It will release on May 6th. The NBA play-in continues to roll on. The Magic beat the Hawks 120-95, and the Warriors beat the Grizzlies 121-116. The Heat will take on the Bulls tonight at 7:30, and the Mavs will take on the Kings at 10. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in Team 980, and hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live from 10 to 1, and Craig Hoffman from 4 to 7. Don't forget to like the stream, turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that's what's trending.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Which position will Washington draft with its first pick? Prediction on that, and then which position would you like to see them select with their first overall pick? For me, I think the odds are heavily stacked in the favor of the deepest position in this draft, which is D-line. And I would say specific to that, it would be an edge rusher. It would be a D-end. What do I want? I want them to draft the best player available. They have needs. I want a player that's going to make an impact sooner rather than later. I don't want a guy that they're thinking long-term about, because if you draft a guy that's going to make an impact right away, it's probable that that player is going to be pretty good long-term as well. They have a season upcoming that is the best chance that they've had odds-wise since 2000, all right, in 25 years, to do some damage. Their over-under in Vegas is 10.5 on wins. They're going to be predicted across the board to be a playoff team, to be a team that has a chance to get to a Super Bowl in 2025. I think it's really important that they take the best player available, and I would love that player to be a player that steps on the field very quickly and makes an impact. I mean, it'd be hard for the first player in their 2025 draft to match what the first player in their 2024 draft did. I don't think we'll ever see that again. But yeah, I would like it to be a player that makes an impact. I think that the position group that is the best odds is D-line, edge in particular, but I don't really care where it comes from. 301-230-0980. Let's start with our guy Kev in Arlington. Kevin, go ahead.
Hey, Kevin. Thanks for taking my call. So I've been saying all offseason, really since Philly dominated us in the NFC Championship game, the number one most glaring need on the roster is a defensive end who can set the edge. I'm not sure, Kevin, if at 29, who I would like them to draft is truly a number one pick. In other words, I also think they need to add one or more draft picks. I would like to see them trade down into the second so they can add, you know, somewhere between the first and the third, well, pardon me, between the second and the third. But the kid I like is Landon Jackson out of Arkansas. He had a terrific season. He's lengthy. He's terrific at setting the edge. He gets after the quarterback. He knows Jaden Daniels. He used to be at LSU. Yeah. I just see this guy as a little under the radar. But what he's really great at is edge setting. You know, Green and so many of the others who, you know, we would hope to fall or whatever, they're really unproven as edge setters. And I just want to say one more thing. I was relieved we didn't trade for Myles Garrett or Trey Hendrickson, because as great as they are as impact players, they're both lousy against the edge and setting it.
Well, Myles Garrett isn't.
Statistics show it.
Myles Garrett isn't.
Yeah, he is. Kevin, if you look at the stats, he is. Khalil Mack, Max Crosby, Nick Bosa, those are really good edge setters. Garrett is not good at it. And the stats back it up. When you have the next guy on who knows about
edge, I had all this. I had the PFF guy on from the beginning. Myles Garrett has been, during the course of his year, ESPN a top three run stopper in the NFL setter. As a defensive end.
Look, he's a great disruptive player. He's not great at setting the edge. I think there's a lot of evidence.
I disagree. I disagree. And most of the data suggests he's an outstanding run stopper.
Okay. I'll send you data that suggests otherwise.
We're going to get into the comparison of data, and we both probably have views of PFF that are probably pretty similar. We're not sitting there documenting it ourselves. I'm just giving you the PFF data. He's been the most dominant defensive end, both, you know, as a pass rusher for sure, but this past year was maybe a bit of a step back against the run, but throughout his career he's been a high-end run defender as well. But when you watch Cleveland, using your own eyes, when you watch him, do you think he's not a good run stopper? You don't think
he's
a havoc wreaker as an edge setter?
Max Crosby is the perfect defensive end at doing.
Yeah, but he's not
jobs.
Available.
Okay. Right. What I'm trying to say is that's what Garrett should be as an edge defender, and I disagree. I don't see it.
I definitely see it. Here's the thing, though, on Trey Hendrickson. It ain't over yet.
He's not good at it either.
I agree with Hendrickson is not the edge setter or the run stopper that Garrett is, not even close. But I would say that it's not over on Hendrickson. I think we're getting into something's going to happen between now and the draft.
We can't beat Philly until we fix that problem. We are terrible at that. Really bad. Yeah. On that
we agree.
And Lucian Jackson is that guy.
On that, we agree. I think you know, it's an offensive league for sure, and there were times in which we were both proven wrong last year, games in which they could not stop the run and they won anyway. And it didn't happen, though, in the championship game. And, you know, to be back in that position again next year where you're hoping for your quarterback to bail you out week in and week out when you can't get off the field defensively, that's a tough road to 14, 15 wins and into the Super Bowl. So we agree on that. I think we've always agreed on that. And they got to improve.
One last thing. We do.
Yeah.
We do agree on that. But and it was a problem all year, not just in the NFC Championship game. We've not been good at that.
I know. And yet they kept winning games. They couldn't stop the run against Atlanta. They couldn't stop the run against the Eagles. They couldn't stop the run against teams over and over again. And they kept winning games because of their quarterback. It's not the way to go, though.
I guess I'm
with
concerned
you on that.
About Philly. I'm like Doc Walker. We got to focus on how do we beat Philly.
Yeah, we got to end up with more. We have to end up on top of the division so that there are games at home in January to get to the Super Bowl. No doubt. Thanks, Kev, as
always.
Great
call, Kevin. Thanks for going back and forth with me on it.
Yep. Arthur in Tampa. Arthur, the position that you think they'll draft, the position that you'd like them to draft in the first round.
How you doing, Kevin? I think that they're going to draft a defensive end. What I want them to do, and I know that this may seem kind of far-fetched, but everybody's talking about Jaden Daniels and how he's on the rookie contract. But one thing we're not considering is that we drafted him at number 2, and we didn't have to trade up to get him. So I would like us to do kind of like a Julio Jones Atlanta move and trade up and get either Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter. Give us another elite prospect.
That's 27 spots.
Yeah.
you don't have enough to do that. Let me just say this. I love the way you're thinking. All right. I love the thinking big, but that is thinking too big and too outrageously because it's not going to happen. But I love it. Like, add Travis Hunter, add Abdul Carter, but think about what you'd have to give up. I mean, you're talking about multiple years of first-round picks. This year, next year, and I don't know, maybe the year after that to move up 27 spots.
But you got to think about it, too. We didn't have to give up anything to get Jaden Daniels, and if we get someone like Travis Hunter, we could pair him. You know, Jaden Daniels, Travis Hunter might be the best non-quarterback to come out the draft in like the next 5 or 10 years.
So, you might be right about that.
I know it's probably not going to happen, but it's just a thought on.
All right,
you know, kind
so
of
that's what you'd like to happen. What position do you think will happen?
I think they'll get a DN, one of the DNs that'll fall to 29.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it, as always, Arthur. Good one, though. Can you imagine? Like, I think it will be very surprising if they were to just trade up a few spots for, like, the edge rusher that they really want or the corner that they really want. I think that would shock a lot of people. It would not shock me because I do think they're in this mode of they want a player who is going to have a first-round grade. And if they can't get him at 29, and you can't trade back because everybody sees the draft the same way, that it is, you know, there's depth to it, but it's not, you know, especially top-heavy, then a trade-up a couple of spots wouldn't, you know, be nuts. But no, a trade-up to draft Travis Hunter, I just don't even think they would have enough ammo to do it. Let's go to Daryl in Columbia. Daryl, go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Yeah, Kevin, I think what I would like them, who I would like them to take and who I think they're going to take is this guy by the name of Eon Huntington. I don't know what team he's playing with, but he's about 285, and he plays like Micah Parsons. And he can play inside, outside. He is a beast. He's a beast. And I would love for them to get take it to the house running back. you know, Travion, if they can trade up to get him. But everywhere else, Kevin, on the team, I think we're solid. I think we're solid. I think, you know, we got solid players at the corner. This guy Jones from New England, I like him. I like him. He got speed. The guy that we replaced as strong safety, you know, that played with Lattimore in New Orleans, I like him. You know, these are like veterans. And I think, Kevin, what they're trying to do while Jaden is on this rookie contract, I think that you know they're getting good blue chip players that can go in there right away and plug it in and make us competitive. And I think once Jaden gets his contract, then they're going to start going for the younger players on a 4-year contract because they're not going to be able to afford these other veterans that they're getting now.
Yeah,
that's my take.
Yeah, well, that's why you trade for Marshon Lattimore, Deebo Samuel, and Laremy Tunsil now, because you've got the rookie on the rookie contract. I think that there is, like, if somebody said, we talked about this at the end of the season, like, the focus should be on defense. You got to get better defensively. There are a lot of ways to get better defensively that don't include adding new players. You know, there are players that didn't play a lot last year. Now, they've added a lot of players, from Kinlaw to Goldman to the New England guy, Wise to Jones to Will Harris, who's basically the replacement for Jeremy Chinn. You know, you've got a guy like Jordan McGee, who they really liked last year. You got a guy, you know, like John Baptiste, who they really liked as a seventh rounder. We forget sometimes, and I say this all the time, we forget about last year's draft when the first season is in the books. Most players aren't significant contributors in their first year. So there is hope that some of the players that weren't significant contributors last year end up being significant contributors this year. You know, on offense, the perfect example obviously would be a Luke McCaffrey. He had the opportunities snap-wise, he didn't have the he didn't produce, but that's because the ball didn't really come his way, because he certainly got open. But defensively, you also just have the year-to-year variability of defenses just end up changing more often than offenses year-to-year. And year two in the same system that I think we think is well-coached, led by Dan Quinn and, of course, Joe Witt Jr., but maybe they just think a couple of spots like a Kinlaw and a Wise will make a big difference, that McGee will be a factor, Luvu in year two. Luvu is their best defensive player, I thought, by far. And maybe this is a big sack year for Luvu. Maybe he gets into double digits in sacks. We'll see. Like, I'm excited to see what Marshon Lattimore can be. It'd be nice to have Marshon Lattimore at his best. Quan Martin, I thought, played well. Sanra still was a rookie last year, and he played well. So they may be looking at it like, we were young in a couple of spots. We were, you know, just adapting to a new system and adapting to each other. We needed a couple of big dudes, and they went big with Kinlaw and with Goldman and with Wise. But it would still be nice to have a real game changer up front. That's for sure. All right, those of you I didn't get to, I apologize. We can come back to this next hour if you'd like. I do have Chris Miller, voice of the Wizards, scheduled next. We'll talk about the Wizards season in retrospect, because we didn't really talk about it during the season. And we'll do some NBA playoffs as well, and then we'll come back to this. So for all of you that I didn't get to, we'll do it at 12:15, 12:20 again. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.